You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Call now to take advantage of our limited time offer of $1,200 off our regular price for a new air conditioner. When you want a great deal now,
call on Reliance.
Conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Let that boy breathe. Make it pop.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, a holiday Monday here in Toronto and throughout Ontario. And plead my ignorance. I thought this was a civic holiday throughout the country, but apparently I'm wrong on that. Not the case in Quebec and I believe a few other provinces.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't this just like August long weekend?
That's what I thought. I thought it was like not a national holiday. Clearly it's not July 1 or whatever, but I am off base. So my apologies to the other provinces.
Well, it's ridiculous, those provinces that don't have a long weekend.
Yeah, hook it up. Where are you at? Come on now. Figure it out. Yep. Right?
Isn't it like a known thing where there's one weekend a month where there's a lot like a holiday?
More or less. I mean, I'm pretty sure we have one almost every month, like pretty close to it, I think. Maybe November do we get one, like Remembrance Day for government workers. Maybe there isn't one in November. Outside of Remembrance Day, of course, which is very important, as we know. But I think most people work on that day. I'm not sure. Good question. Yeah. We should have it. We should have at least one long weekend every month. Why not?
Yeah. Well, that's a bit rich. I think that's...
Is it?
Yeah, okay. It's a bit rich.
Now, you're not a fan of that? What are you, Karl Marx over there?
No, I'm just saying that people, you know, this is a tough time for everyone, so it's not, you know, but when things are normal, people are always looking to have time off. Like that, you know, that's the reality of it is...
Yeah.
You know, people don't like to work all the time. So.
I feel like we've been off so much. Like, even just working from home doesn't feel like normal work. So,
no.
I'm happy to be on today, especially coming off the weekend we just had.
Are you fine watching hockey from 12 noon till, I guess, 1 o'clock
yes.
in the morning?
I love that's, it.
I'm
I love
loving it.
It,
too.
I'm not watching every second. I mean, that's not really possible for me. But I like knowing that there's games on. I like tracking it. Games,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a golf tournament. Like you're not going to watch every single stroke. I mean, guys are teeing off from like 7:30 all the way up until 3 in the afternoon. But you know it's there. You know, what's the latest? You know, who's making a run? Who's starting to choke? It's kind of the same thing right now with the NHL where you know there's a game on once you get to about 12 or 12:30 and you're just kind of tracking the goings on.
I find the line, it's my job to watch, is wearing a little bit thin.
Doesn't fly much over here. Outside of the Toronto teams,
no.
I can pretty much guarantee that I'm going to get some blowback if I'm like, yeah, Carolina's playing the Rangers. I've got to watch, you know, 2.5 hours.
They know that that's not in your wheelhouse and you're not watching it.
It is if you have to talk about it. That's the thing.
I get it. Steph understands the gig. She wants you to watch it.
Well, you're doing SportsCenter hits, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Stuff for the website and everything. I've got to be
kind of on call, really, throughout the whole time. So I'm in touch with the SportsCenter guys, like, you want this or you want a hit or no? And, you know, they'll put it on either on the web or just on SC. So, yeah, I did one last night. I can't remember on what, but I did it on Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie and Corposalo. They played well.
Right.
Like, they played well. It's a classic example of, you know, Anderson. The goal he gives up wasn't a great goal.
No,
although I thought Atkinson kind of – there was a bit of a pause where it looked like he was going to continue to drive the net, and he got it off pretty quick.
Yeah.
And he picked the spot, right? He hit the corner. It was kind of a Mark Messier – far bar and in type of shot.
That went through him. That went through him.
Went
that
through
did
the
not
body,
go post.
But he's got to make that save. But what I thought, to your point, Brian, is he was in motion. He shot in stride, and Anderson wasn't set. If you actually look, he still, when it goes through the body, through the arm and the body, he's still moving after the puck's in the net. That,
right.
to me, is you know, Atkinson creating some, you know, deception, but also him not being set on that shot, which, you know, you want to nitpick? Yeah, you need to make that save. But, you know,
you give up one goal in a playoff game, you got to win that game.
Exactly,
I mean,
and that Bjorkstrand, that left pad save in the second period. I thought that was a for sure goal on on Bjork. Is it Bjorkstrand? Am I saying his
name right? I think it
was.
Yeah, yeah,
number
28. It, right?
Yeah. Yep. Fantastic save. You know, the Korpisalo on Matthews. I mean, like, there were some great saves last night at both ends. And, you know, it's not going to be like that tomorrow. It's not going to be another 1-0 game, I don't believe. I think there's going to be goals. But, you know, the Leafs just have to focus on what they do well. And Columbus is going to continue to focus on what they do well. And it's going to be a hard-fought battle.
Yeah.
Like, it really
which
is.
Which is to be expected. I mean, this was always going maybe 4 or 5 games. And if the Leafs are going to win it, it's going a minimum 4 now.
Right.
But it's put up or shut up time for the big boys and for the team tomorrow. Yeah. I do think it's as simple as that. Everyone's got to pull their weight, clearly. You know, Freddie's got to double down and play like that again, if not better, if you can. But the big boys, you talk to Kyle Dubas, and we've had him on many times. He's made it abundantly clear. We have invested in a certain amount of players that we have full faith in. They're going to show us that our investment was worth it. Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, you know, Riley to an extent, although he's not getting paid, you know, through the roof. He's actually got a very good deal.
He's getting paid enough.
He is, yeah. And Morgan's got to be better than he was last night. Like, Riley got snowed in a few times, and you can blame his partner. Cody Ceci is what he is, but Riley's got to be better than that. So it's on the big boys. It's on the captain tomorrow, who I think is going to have the most pressure on him to perform, and I think he has to. Because of that captaincy, because he came here, and because he's the oldest guy, he doesn't have as much time to play with. Tavares has to be way better. Marner, way better. Riley, way better. And Matthews has to continue to play like he did last night, but score. You get paid to score. You got to be a game breaker. So we'll get back into that later in the hour with Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. But NFL camps are kind of opening up, and people are getting back into the swing of things, and a bunch of guys have decided to pull the shoot. And there's a coach that tested positive over the weekend, Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So now he's in quarantine. There's a lot going on in the sports world. And you can see him and watch him on FS1. Longtime NFLer. Here is Marcellus Wiley back on Overdrive. How you doing, Marcellus?
Doing great, man. Better than the Maple Leafs after game one.
Yeah, come on now. Come
that's
on,
very
man.
Valid. Our Raptors are pulling their weight, though. Don't you worry about that, man. We did you guys a favor as Clipper fans, laying a beating on the Lakers on Saturday night. And the Lakers are a weird team to figure out, man. Like, if LeBron and Davis perform and play at their capabilities, they can beat anybody in the NBA. But if they don't, and we saw it on Saturday night, man, they got some flaws, that other L.A. team in your hometown.
Yeah, they have flaws, and more importantly, they don't have wiggle room. That's why I think they're going to fall short of a championship run. Because, AD is amazing and LeBron is amazing, but in terms of what's their number three, not so amazing. Remember last year, you go back to your Raptors, who was the number three? Probably Siakam or Kyle
Lowry. One or the other, yeah.
Yeah, and Lowry, I mean, this is an all-star. You're talking about a number three. You look at the Lakers, their number three is Kyle Kuzma, who has a ton of potential but is inconsistent. You go back to the dynasty of the Miami Heat, you're bringing a Chris Bosh from Toronto to be your number three. So a lot of times, and Colin Cowher speaks a lot about this, we got to look at the number threes on these NBA teams if we're really going to talk about how good or great they can be. And if you look at the Clippers, their number three is what? Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. These are beasts. These are guys. These are real men out there. So I think the Lakers' lack of depth in terms of high firepower is going to come back to haunt them. That's why they didn't have bounce back. They play well against the Clippers. They exhaust all their energy. Next game, they get blown out by you guys. I don't think they have that consistent depth that they need.
Well, we were talking about LeBron's postgame comments after the game, and he's become, you know, very diplomatic as he's grown in the game and in his position. He's well aware of who he is and the magnitude of his words, and he went out of his way to pump the tires of the Raptors, which he doesn't have to do, but he pumped the tires of Nick Nurse, and, you know, he runs off two or three names. He even mentions a guy like OG Anunoby, who I don't think the average NBA fan would know anything about, and LeBron only plays him twice, so doesn't have to. And maybe there's some patronizing there. I don't think LeBron's actually scared of OG Anunoby. But as an athlete, as a pro, you know, when you hear a guy like that, of that status, you know, talk up your team, does that mean anything to you? You know, if the equivalent happened to you in the NFL when you were in Buffalo, you know, Troy Aikman or whoever it is, you know, pumping your tires, John Elway or something like that, would that matter to you at all?
It would. It's a healthy respect. You got to respect just at the basic level that it's a fraternity. And in that fraternity of professional sports, everyone's a black belt. It's just what degree black belt are you? You know, you look at LeBron, a 99-degree black belt.
All right, we got to throw him on hold there, Kenny. Throw him on
Kenny
hold,
Rogers. Kenny
see if
Rogers.
We can get him back out. But, yeah, that was going wonky, man. We've had some pretty good reception, too, with Mullen on the board.
Yeah.
Ken gets stuck with a bad reception out of L.A. from our boy Marcellus. We'll see if we can get him back on.
Kenny Rogers is on watch. On watch.
He's on the clock.
He's got it taken care of. I'm not concerned. He'll be fine. He'll get him back on. We'll see if we can reconnect.
I'm concerned because Mullen probably has these, like, you know, little things that he does to make the board work. You know how you, like, the board is probably, like, his baby. You got to hit it here. You got to do this. You got to do that. And, you know, old Kenny's got his feet up on the desk and probably just looking to press a button here or there.
No disrespect to Kenny Rogers, but we got to have a Zoom call with Mullen, Keith, and not Kenny tonight.
Just to talk behind his back.
No, we'll just have to just
blame him for cell reception. I think we got Marcellus back.
Okay.
Are you good with us, Marcellus? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you, buddy. You were talking about, you know, great players talking your team up.
You're talking about the Maple Leafs. The phone guys hate you, brother. I'm sorry up there. But, yeah, talking about great players, man, I think it's a healthy respect at the most basic level. And you do respect it. You do like it because in that fraternity of professional sports, you just got to respect that we're all black belts. No matter how good or bad you are, it's just different degrees of black belts. So the sorriest guy on the practice squad who never gets off the bench is still a black belt because he's one in a million in terms of a collegiate athlete that transitioned to the pro level. And then if you're able to make a mark at the pro level, damn, you should get some love and respect, especially from the great ones, just for your effort and whatever level of achievement and production you have. So when I hear that from LeBron, I think it's a healthy place versus a Michael Jordan who did it differently. As we saw in that documentary, Michael Jordan rather squish all of his competition, talk about how no one else was as great as, and then that's supposed to be how you prop up his greatness. Look what he did. He diminished everyone. And I think LeBron learned from Jordan not to do it that way. Actually pump up everyone, inflate everyone, make everyone look good or great, better than they are, and then you stood taller than all of them. So to me, it's a healthier, smarter approach if you're LeBron. Pump up the world and then say you're better and bigger than the world.
Marcellus, throughout this whole process, when all the pauses started worldwide and everything, I think coaches probably spent a lot of time communicating with their players. You know, are you taking care of yourself? Are you social distancing? Are you wearing a mask? Blah, blah, blah. How bizarre is it that Doug Peterson, the coach of the Eagles, gets COVID? Like, the players must be thinking, you've been telling us this, that, and the other for the last 3 months, and you end up with COVID. It's not a laughing matter, but how bizarre is that?
Yeah, it is. It's ironic, obviously. The authority figure, the person that's probably preaching the message, actually is the one that is the one who's contracted it now. But as we all know, there's no perfect situation. There's no way to fully protect yourself from this virus. Everyone is just trying to get in the 99th percentile, but there's no 100th percentile. There's no full protection from this. Think about it. It could be just you order delivery and, yeah, I wiped it down and I didn't touch it and all that, but it's still, you're exposing yourself just at the smallest of levels. People who are still essential workers or who have to work or anything you do outside of staying in a protected plastic bubble like it's E.T. the movie. If it's not in that existence, we all have compromised ourselves in some form or some fashion. You try not to be repetitive with it. So kind of unfortunate it happens from the coach, but also eye-opening that no matter how protected you are in these situations, that we're all compromised, we're all vulnerable. And it's going to be really interesting when a sport like the NFL, football, opens up and the just the dynamics of the game. There are 90 guys on the roster, 32 different teams. The goal is to run into each other, spit, twist, and lay on each other in piles and huddles. And it's just the contagious factor and the contagious that are going to be flying left and right in the NFL atmosphere. We thought baseball has been compromised. Wait till we see this NFL experiment go down. There's no NBA bubble to protect baseball or football. And football, just by the pure nature of the sport, man, I think it's going to be pretty brutal once this gets started.
With longtime NFLer Marcellus Wiley, in terms of social justice, we've seen it, statements being made, gestures being made, in every sport around the world, really. And the NBA, I think, has been at the forefront of it. What are you expecting from the NFL when they come together and they get out there and start playing in September? Besides maybe collectively kneeling for the anthem, which I expect to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen every week for 17 weeks, but what kind of expectations do you have for the NFL and the players and how the owners and Goodell are going to handle it or how much they're going to allow? This is a league that generally doesn't allow a lot when it comes to individuality and expressing yourself during the game itself.
Yeah, I think it's going to kind of be more of the same. There are exceptions. If you look at hockey, obviously they're on one end of the spectrum in terms of how much public display and demonstration they're participating in and allowing versus the NBA. Seems like on the other end of the spectrum where every pregame, every commercial, you're watching a court that says Black Lives Matter, they're on that end in terms of really demonstrating their support. But I just want to make sure everyone knows that since you're not doing all of these public displays, doesn't mean that you're not supporting. And I think the greatest support you can have for any cause is having great character and being a representative of equality, a representative of good nature, rather than always just putting on a T-shirt or kneeling or doing the anthem. Like, all those things, I think, are the easiest ways to check a box to show people you're supporting. But as we know in life, your character is really about the things that you do when no one else is watching. Just imagine you walk into a locker room and next to your wristbands is a shirt that says Black Lives Matter or We Support All. I don't want to say meaningless, but it certainly doesn't map on the reality. Putting on a team-issued shirt and standing around while the cameras are on you, that's the easy work. That's the light work. The real work is checking the box in your day-to-day life and with your family, your loved ones, your community, and doing things outside the ordinary that really show that you're in support of something. So I think there's just going to be more of the same in terms of the demonstrations and displays. And they said they're going to play the Black National Anthem, things like that, which, if it toots your horn, if it makes you feel good, I hope it has some kind of motivating factor behind it that really changes the reality. That's what I'm focused on, is the reality, not so much the display to show the support, which it seems like we're in right now.
Yeah, well put. Always appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon, probably next week. Thank you, Marcellus.
All right, hopefully the Maple Leafs still at it. Let's see.
I hope so, right. Too. Knock on wood.
Come on, man.
Knock on wood. Thank you, buddy. There's Marcellus Wiley. Yeah, I think Matt Dumba in his speech the other night was a powerful speech. I think that took, some stones to get out there. That wasn't even his game, right? Like, clearly. He was in the bubble, though, and he got out there and he spoke, and I think he spoke well, and he sent a strong message. And yesterday during the anthem, he held his fist up for both anthems, which is his right. I have not heard from anyone within the game that has suggested the NHL has told anyone what they can or can't do during the anthem. I might be wrong on that, but, it is more about, we're going to know more about how this league and how sports is actually trying to change over time. We're not going to just know because, the whole team was kneeling during the anthem, that is a gesture, and it is an important one to keep a message alive that has really come on over the last couple of months. And it's an important one that we would all get behind. And I hope it leads to tangible change and a better place in a better sports world, because this is the world that we live in and we deal with. But, you know, what happens during the anthem before the game is that isn't going to change the reality, like Marcelo said, right? It's going to come down to how we treat each other, the tangible efforts behind the scenes, the day-to-day stuff. And, you know, it's a start, what has, I think, happened over the last couple of months. But we're really not going to be able to know exactly what changed and whether or not we finally crossed the right T's and dotted the right I's for another couple of years, maybe.
That's the key. It's a start. It's got to continue. It's like everything else where it's a build-up. There's an incident. Something happens. And it's a big top of conversation. And unfortunately, then it just disappears to the wayside. And that just can't happen. And I don't think it'll happen in all walks of life, all sports this time around.
Yeah, I hope not.
I think Marcelo's nailed it. Like it's nice to have what he was getting at, the symbols and the gestures, but it has to be integrated in everything. Not just, you know, hey, when the camera's rolling, hey, let, you know, everyone put this T-shirt on. Or when the camera's rolling, this and that. It's it's how you conduct and really run your own lives. And you know, for us, we've got kids. You know, it's education, it's teaching. For us, it's learning as well. And, you know, to me, it's the long game. I guess that's what I would
Right.
It's the long game
of
learning and getting equality out there, not just, you know, in short spurts here and then you move on to the next cause.
Exactly. And playing a part in it by actually, you know, changing or doing
Right.
things differently. And specifically, we're talking, you know, corporations and, you know, the different systems in which we incorporate ourselves into. But, you know, as for the anthem and where the NFL is going, I don't know how long the NBA is going to continue to do what they're doing, because they've had a rule in their CBA for a long time that players had to stand. And they've obviously, clearly, they've allowed that to change now. I don't know if it will revert back to the way it was starting next year when they're back into their own stadiums. I don't know. I don't know. Will there be pushback on that? But, you know, it's also every player still, it's your individual right to make a decision on what you want to do. But hopefully the actual cause is what is at the forefront, as opposed to everyone, you know, or anyone getting too preoccupied with, oh, well, what's happening during this anthem? You know, during the anthem is, that's just, we're playing it, then the game starts and we move on. The real stuff is going to happen away from the rink or behind closed doors.
I agree.
And again, we're not going to know for a while, but hopefully it's moving in the right direction.
Speaking
Bob McKenzie, go ahead.
Sorry, Brian. Speaking of anthems, I thought it's a great touch by the National Hockey League to have the respective anthem singers singing. The Leaf singer, she's so good.
Yeah, she's, I guess, up in Woodbridge or whatever.
Yeah,
and like, yeah, she was
great.
She belting out the Canadian and the American anthem.
I think the league has done such a good job of trying to, you know, capture every, you know, every team's, you know, their song, their goal song. You know, you see the boards, there's advertisements on there, like there's fans watching. Like I those details, I think the NHL's done a really good job. And just,
it's the gold standard. I think they announced the test today, how many thousand
7,000, yeah.
Zero pot, like that's the gold standard for doing this, I think, is everyone needs to be commended for the job they've done in the National Hockey
League. Knock on wood,
No question about it.
Let's just keep plugging along. NHL, NBA, the bubbles are working, man.
Yep.
Bubbles are working. There's a reason baseball's falling apart. There's a lot of concern about football right around the corner. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider on the Oilers game tonight, the Habs game tonight, what he saw earlier this afternoon, and how do the Leafs react? We'll get a level-headed response, as we always do from Bob, on the game from yesterday and how we apply it to tomorrow's game. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, will join us here in just a moment. Don't forget, the Leafs are in action at 4 o'clock tomorrow. The Leafs take it on Columbus, game 2 at 4 o'clock. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. So right here on TSN 1050 tomorrow, the Tap Man will be firing off yes guy, no guys for the pregame, during intermissions, the postgame, the whole nine.
Guns blazing
Guns
for the Tap Man.
Blazing, yep. He is in fine form, Raptors pregame, Leafs pregame. Sure, there's stuff going on in Hamilton right now that you don't even want to know about, but the Tap Man is familiar with.
Is he still doing yes guy, no guy?
Well, I guess there's some new drink. Like someone created a yes guy drink. Did you see that?
They're not allowed. They're not allowed to do that. That's the Tap Man's slogan.
Not
don't get him
well.
On that. He is going to be laces out if he
It's basically the Seinfeld episode where someone stole the beach, the fragrance from Kramer when Calvin Klein steals the beach. That's the tap man. He is going to be going nuts when he sees
that. I would imagine he's not happy about it.
No, no, he's not. He's not happy at all. So, yeah, that's going on tomorrow on the station. And the Raptors were in action earlier this afternoon. So you just got all these games going at all these weird times. You know, the Raptors tipped off at, was it a 1:30 tip-off today? The Leafs are playing at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Raptors are 2-0 down in the bubble, so they're looking good for that 2 seed, I think, by the end of the week. And Milwaukee's going to have the top seed in the East, as we know. So yep. We'll tell you more about that game later in the hour. But the Leafs are coming off a loss. They're down 1-0 in their series, and we've been heated. We've been yelling and screaming, and now it's time to get a level-headed analysis, which is what you would expect from Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. Go ahead, Bob. The floor is yours. Why should we be cool, calm, and collected after last night's game?
Well, I don't think anything I'm going to say is going to talk anybody off any limbs or ledges or anything else. I would only say this, and it was interesting because I had a feeling this would be the case when the game ended. I'm looking at the game, and I'm thinking that's exactly the way the Leafs need to play if they're going to win this series. Now, I recognize they didn't score a goal, and I recognize they lost the hockey game, but I think, and this is just personal opinion, I think that the Toronto Maple Leaf fans, by and large, have a mindset that if the Toronto Maple Leafs shared that mindset, they would get swept like the Tampa Bay Lightning did last year. And that is, we've got the skilled players. This is the fans talking, not me. We've got the skilled players. Toronto Maple Leafs do. We've got the guys that are in the big money. We should be better than Columbus, because they don't have the firepower that we've got. Therefore, we should win this series. And when we don't win it, and it's not easy, if the game's not easy, then we must be doing something wrong. And I think there's two points to be made there. Number one, I think you're selling the Columbus Blue Jackets way short. And I know the Toronto Maple Leafs aren't, but I think a lot of Leaf fans are when they see their lineup. I mean, Werenski and Jones might be the best defense pair in the league. And yep. And I'll tell you what, the second pair with Savard and Gavrikov, that's a really good, really good top four. You know, better than the Leafs' top four, I would say. And when you look at their skill level up front, they're sneaky skilled. I mean, Atkinson's a good hockey player. That Texier, you know, these guys can protect the puck and they can play a puck possession game even though they're not game-breaking in terms of their offensive ability. So that's number one, is I don't think people give the Blue Jackets enough credit for the kind of team that they've got. And they're also, as a team, they're number one again defending the rush. I mean, this is an elite defensive team, not a good defensive team. It's an elite defensive team that, quite frankly, the Leafs don't match up well against, because the Leafs are a rush team and nobody defends the rush in the NHL better than the Columbus Blue Jackets. So all that's number one. Number two, the Toronto Maple Leafs played a game last night that I think was way outside their comfort zone, and I thought they did an outstanding job with it. That is, being hard on pucks, winning battles, you know, boxing out the Blue Jackets almost as much as the Blue Jackets boxed them out. And there's so very, very little to choose by the end of the game. And what decided the game? What decided the game was a bad goal by Freddie Anderson. And it's not fair to say that about him, because it's true. But it's not fair to say it, because he was so good and made so many good saves, especially when he got the toe out on Bjorkstrand. That was an unbelievable save, just as Korpisalo made an unbelievable glove save on Austin Matthews. But I think this series, whichever way it goes, is going to be a lot more of the same and needs to be more of the same. Otherwise, I think the Leafs are going to fall into the same trap that the Tampa Bay Lightning fell into last year, thinking, hey, we're the skilled offensive team. Let's blow the doors off these guys. You aren't blowing the doors off the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're too good defensively. And so I think you've got to get outside your comfort zone. And I was impressed the Leafs were able to be as patient. And do they need to try and create more offense? Of course they do. Does Marner need to be better? Does Tavares need to be better? Yeah, sure. All of that is true. But it's not going to be easy. And I think Leaf fans deep down think, we should beat this team. They're not that good.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about that, Bob. They are that good, but they're not Boston either, and they're not Washington. And
I think that what they played Boston after they knocked off Tampa last year, they played Boston really tough. Like a lot of people forget that. So they just look at it and say, well, you know, Boston went to the Cup final, and Columbus was, you know, the Cinderella story. They knocked off Tampa in the first round, and then they bowed out to the Bruins. But along the way, and I talked to some people in the Leaf organization, because they went back and they looked at the tape, obviously, of what Columbus did to Tampa last year. But they also looked at what Columbus did with Boston and how well they played them. They're a good team. But you're right. I mean, the Leaf fans are right to feel like they need more from some of their best players. But in overall style, temperament, and approach,
that they've been working on for 3 or 4 months, and they're not just going to throw it out the window after one game. And, you know, that's kind of a segue into the decision tonight, where I would assume Dave Tippett has been thinking back and forth for 3 months, Mike Smith or Koskinen. He goes with Mike Smith, and then all of a sudden they lose, and game two it's Koskinen. So what does that say about his state of mind?
The leashes get real short in a five-game series. It's funny.
They do.
It's only, you know, five games, seven games, two-game difference, but it's amazing how much quicker, you know, the leash gets short. And so it was interesting today that, you know, Engvall went in for the GOAT, but otherwise the lines were the same. But I wonder if after 20 minutes tomorrow night, if Tavares and Marner and Mikheyev aren't getting anything going, do we see the Mixmaster come out a little bit, and do we see Sheldon Keefe trying to stack up Tavares and Matthews and Marner on one line, or, you know, take your pick of any combination of Matthews and Marner and you know, one other top guy, whatever it might be. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sheldon Keefe, he's only got one playoff game of experience now in the NHL. I mean, that's another thing that maybe we have been overlooking or just simply not bringing up enough. But this is a head coach who's not on the ice. He can't clearly have as much of an impact. But this, he didn't draw an easy hand either. He's up against John Tortorella and a team that is going to be remarkably consistent and diligent. And he's got to find a way to push the right buttons, because his predecessor couldn't do it. Right? Like, Babcock tried 3 years in a row and couldn't get over the top. And the expectation is Sheldon Keefe will be able to find a way to make that happen.
No guarantees by any stretch.
No,
absolutely right. And even a veteran coach like Babcock, I mean, he had the Leafs right where he wanted them on a couple of occasions against the Bruins. I mean, up 3-2. And they weren't able to seal the deal. And that's, you know, in large part because I think you can talk about personnel, but I think there was a real immaturity to the Leafs in the last two Boston series. And we'll see if the maturity is any better now. I'm sure it is better. I don't think there's any question they're a more mature team now than they were. But, you know, it's still hard. That style of play that the Leafs played last night, that's hard. That's hard work, man. And that's right outside their comfort zone. You know, that's not something that Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or William Nylander grew up saying, that's the kind of hockey I want to play.
I know, but if they don't have an understanding, Bobby, that that's how playoff hockey is, then they're just, I mean, they have to understand that.
I think they do, or certainly I would say this, based on the way they went about their business in phase two and phase three, I would say they have an acute understanding that that's the kind of hockey that's necessary to play. And the sense I've gotten is that there hasn't, that, you know, unlike other years where maybe they would have bristled at this or bristled at that, that as of right now, they're certainly full buy-in. Now, if you play another game where you get shut out 1-0 or 2-0 with an empty net goal, you know, might you be bristling and saying, this isn't working for us, we need to do something else? That would probably be the most normal human nature thing in the world. But the entire overwhelming sense I get from Leaf camp is that the players are fully bought into what is being peddled to them and what we saw last night. And I know Leaf fans will hear that and they'll roll their eyes and say, oh, great. Is that what I got to look forward to, another shutout? But flip it around. What if Corpusello lets in one bad goal and Freddie doesn't? You know, everybody's happy with Clams right now. And they don't care that it was a really tight game. In fact, they'd be celebrating and saying, there you go.
Right.
The boys have learned how to play defense. They know how to lock it down now. This team's ready to roll. Bring on the Bruins. Bring on whoever. But, you know, it didn't. And that's the margins in playoff hockey. It's really, you know. And the sad part for the Leafs, extra sad, and their fans, is that in the 60 or 65 seconds or whatever it was before Atkinson got the goal, they had their best shift. They dominated that first shift of the third period, and Columbus was running around. It was the first time that really for a sustained period of time Columbus looked panicked in their own end, and they had some real good chances, and then it got cleared down, and then the next thing you know, it's in the back of the net on a bad goal. So, you know, that's playoff hockey.
What did you make of the Tkachuk-Scheifele hysteria over the weekend? The whole play, the aftermath, everything?
Yeah, Owen and I were on the panel. We talked about it. I didn't think it was intended. It was a complete and total accident. I understand, and I knew right away that Paul Maurice and the Jets would play it the other way. And in fairness to Paul and the Jets, I think, A, they probably believe it to varying degrees. And even if they didn't, which I'm not saying that they don't believe that what they've been saying, that every team in the National Hockey League would play it that way. That's playoff hockey. That's playoff hockey lore, if you want to call it that, where you use everything in your arsenal, try and get a guy suspended, try and get your guys fired up. And if the shoe were on the other foot, the Flames would be pulling the same one. For me, it's not a, It was a nothing for that. So
right. Anyway,
should also point out a little news for you guys, because the Dallas and Vegas are playing right now, and they just had the anthem, or they're having the anthem. And I'd heard about an hour ago that there were probably going to be multiple players that would take a knee during the anthem. And it's on Twitter now that Robin Leonard, Tyler Seguin, and Jason Dickinson kneel with Ryan Reeves for the U.S. and Canadian national anthem. So just a heads up on that front, if that's something that interests you, as it interests me.
Yeah, that is interesting, because we were talking about it earlier this hour, that, you know, Matthew Dumba, he didn't take a knee, but he raised his fist in the air, and Dumba's speech over the weekend, I think, resonated with a lot of people, and there was some, I think, curiosity. How is this going to go, you know, with what's happening with other leagues around the world, and most notably the NBA, which is so closely linked to the NHL, and how the NHL would react, what the NHL's thought process is on that. And I wouldn't be surprised if now it kind of the ball gets rolling a little bit,
yeah,
if a few players decide to do it.
I would agree with that. And I mean, the NHL and the NBA, in many respects, they're linked in a lot of ways, and in many respects, they're quite opposite.
Right.
One's a primarily white sport, one's largely people of color sport. And you know, in the NBA, virtually everybody is taking a knee, or so it seems, and virtually nobody in the National Hockey League, you know, outside of Matt Dumba on the day that he did that brilliant speech, flanked by Darnell Nurse and Malcolm Subban, who were playing in the game. And then, as you point out, in his own game last night against Vancouver, Matt Dumba, you know, raised his fist in the air. And I was on Montreal radio, and they asked me about it this morning. And the point I would make is, I would hope, A, that every NHL player feels comfortable in doing whatever they're comfortable doing. If they want to make a statement, then by all means, they should be free and clear to make that. And I would hope that they would feel that way, that they could do it if they want to do it. And if they don't want to do it, that's fine, too. You know, it's the thing I found with all of this, and again, I talked about this a lot in Montreal this morning. I mean, I'm an old guy, so I remember 1968 when Carlos and Smith at the Olympics raised the black gloves and the fists in the air, and I was a very impressionable kid, not quite a teenager, but when Muhammad Ali, A, changed his name, and B, you know, was prepared to go to prison and be stripped of his title to make his statements on social and political justice in the United States. And, you know, and when Kaepernick did it, and when J.T. Brown did it in the NHL 5 years ago and took as much abuse as he took, I've gone record. I think it's one of the most courageous things somebody can do, because it's, you know, Kaepernick virtually lost a career over it. And now it's become institutionalized in a good way, I think most people would say, but not all of them, that, you know, multiple people are doing it. You know, entire baseball teams are now kneeling. And there was Kaepernick out on the limb by himself for so long. And it becomes such a tired argument about, you know, disrespecting the flag and all that, at least in my opinion, because it's peaceful protest and systemic issues that they feel need to be adjusted and corrected. And so for NHL players to be fully cognizant of that and to feel comfortable doing it, good for them. But if they, as I said, if they don't feel comfortable or they don't want to do it, and I was surprised at the number of people that got... Some people were mad that Darnell Nurse and Malcolm Subban didn't take a knee alongside Dumba. And if you know, Darnell Nurse made a pretty eloquent statement on Instagram about his experiences with racism and growing up black in a hockey world, you know, pretty much a white hockey world. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody's got to take care of their own house and do what feels comfortable for them. And we need to be respectful and understand that, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah,
well,
it's still your own individual decision, and if you know what happens during the anthem doesn't mean that you're not going to partake in change when it really matters, you know, behind the scenes and within the system and within the day-to-day operations. So, you know, and we're not going to know exactly what has happened here over the last couple of months, like how things have changed probably for a couple of years. But I hope it continues to stay at the forefront, and I think it likely will. We'll see. Great stuff, Bob. As always, enjoy the games tonight. We'll do it again later in the week.
Awesome, guys. Thanks very much.
Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. So we're tracking the NBA bubble, the two hubs in the NHL, Edmonton and Toronto and Orlando. There's been no positive tests in any of them, right? The NBA, no positive tests. The NHL, no positive tests. So everyone's in, everyone's played, and everyone seems like they're getting comfortable. As long as they continue to stick to the protocols, which they should, it's not a time to relax now and pat yourself on the back.
No.
I feel pretty good about getting there, right? Like, think about, we talked about this for months. Can it work? How will it work? What will happen? What's the reaction? What's the blowback? Can you trust everyone? Now all of a sudden we're just here and there's games going on, and it's like, yeah, there's a game and everyone's playing in it. Let's go.
It's gonna have a Big Brother feel to it pretty soon, because people are gonna start leaving the building. As soon as you're gone, you're gone.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, there's gonna be eight teams out of here within the next week.
Yeah, the Rangers could be gone tomorrow.
Could be out tomorrow night.
New York could be out of the bubble tomorrow. That would be it.
Yep, that's right. All right, we'll come back and tee up the Leaf game again tomorrow afternoon. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Puck drop at 4 o'clock right here on TSN 1050. Game 2 against Columbus. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Leafs are in action tomorrow, 4 o'clock right here on TSN 1050. Basically a must-win game, not literally but figuratively speaking. Must-win for the Leafs. We all know the stats. You go down 2-0 in a best of five, it's like going down 3-0 in a best of seven. Good luck. So there's a couple of teams facing that reality tonight. The Rangers are currently facing it. Carolina's up 2-0. Winnipeg wins earlier today. That's a gutsy win to tie that at 1-1 without Scheifele and Laine. Right. But the Oilers have got to win tonight. The Penguins have to win tonight. And tomorrow it'll be the Maple Leafs in Vancouver. If we're focused on the Canadian teams, you know, there's a bunch of Canadian teams with their backs up against the wall. Right now.
I think the Leafs are going to have a good outing tomorrow. Much as, like, I think me and Bob kind of agreed on it. What, like, just there was not, a ton of positive outings for the Leafs, but I think they're on the right track, and I think they might have seen enough on video and just said, okay, here we go. I think they're going to crank it up tomorrow. That's my honest opinion.
I think they are they basically more than capable don't have a choice. That. Yeah, that's the whole thing, though. And yeah. You know, it's like, okay, you're going to crank it up tomorrow. All right. They didn't play poorly yesterday. Like, make no mistake. It wasn't like they got their doors blown off. They did. Yeah. They it was a very balanced game. It's just Columbus chipped one past Freddie, and the Leafs couldn't chip one past Korpisalo.
I know. But I think the Leafs fans have this idea that for them to have a – like if they win 1-0 tomorrow, it's the same in the bank as 5-2, okay? It does not have to be a blowout. It can be a greasy win. That's what it's all about right now.
That's right.
Well, they got to win either way. Like, they've got to find a way, and it doesn't matter if it's greasy or skilled or whatever. They have to be determined. And that's, you know, lip service and not lip service, and they can say the right things, but it's about doing the right things tomorrow, and that has to be the focus for that group.
Yeah, all eyes are going to be on them tomorrow, right? Like, tomorrow's a real opportunity for them to shut a lot of people up, but also gain some confidence, prove to yourselves, like, that's all that matters. You don't have to prove it to talking heads or fans on Twitter or whatever. Prove to yourselves you can do it. You can get back in the series. It's only one game. You tie it up 1-1, and okay, here we go. Best of three now. Let's see what happens. So that's what's going on tomorrow. We won't be on the air because the game will be on tomorrow. Leafs Columbus, game two tomorrow right here on TSN Radio. Good stuff, boys, on a holiday, as always.
Yep.
Don't forget the Zoom call tonight without Kenny Rogers.
We'll sneak Ken in. He'll be in the background. No. He'll be in there like Bobby Valentine with a mustache on. Just lurking in the background on Zoom. So, enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We are back Wednesday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.